You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John.
And this is episode 125, Scott.
125, John, and we have a very special guest in studio tonight.
In studio.
Say hi, Phil.
Hi. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Phil, you've been with us before, but you've never been by yourself. Last time you were here with Marty. And
regrettably,
was it just Marty you came
with? Oh,
yes.
And you remember what episode that was?
Wow, I really don't.
There's a lot of live jamming on that episode.
88, something like that.
88, maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of live jamming on that one. And like we were talking about before we started recording, Phil, unlike our other guests, John, Phil actually listens to the show.
And so does his brother.
Yeah, right.
Big shout out to T-Bone, Tony.
T-Bone, no doubt.
Now, is there any type of sibling rivalry there? Will he get upset when he hears that you're in studio?
Oh, not at all. I actually, without your consent, I extended an invitation to him, but he's like,
oh, yeah.
Without our consent, we need a producer, John. We need somebody to work this stuff out.
I know. You should have heard earlier. I said, Phil's... I think he extended the invitation to Brian and Marty. I need to know.
Are they coming?
Are they coming? I need to prepare.
I need to mentally prepare.
Mentally,
I got to tell you, I brought in some clips, and their focus is Phil and Kevin Burns. But
yeah.
If Marty and Brian were coming, I would have maybe extended the clip gathering. And I would have prepared myself mentally and focused on what type of information I wanted to exchange.
Well, they're out. They're in the gutter.
So they're not coming. Brian and Marty and Phil make up Gene Yass.
Yes. We played them last week on the show.
But they are Brian and Marty
Didn't
will
we?
Not be here.
Yes,
but Phil
please,
is here.
But please don't again.
Why not, man? I love that effect on Marty's voice.
I don't know. It's kind of just for kicks, you know.
Wanking?
Yucks in the afternoon.
Yeah,
I hear that. When we get together every few months. Yeah, it's been kind of sparse lately.
Yeah. What's the deal?
I don't know, man. No deal. There's just no deal.
No deal, Sporto. No deal.
I'm kind of in the dark about the whole thing, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just not able to.
We do it for shits and giggles.
Shits and giggles.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling
myself.
What is
shits and giggles? Yeah, that right. You drive out there and you go, what the fuck am I doing here? What am I doing here with these knuckleheads? They're already drunk. Right?
Well, I catch up with them, and then we're all drunk and stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
We never get drunk at practice, do we, Scott?
No.
Not in a long time, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't really remember getting drunk.
You used to come to practice drunk.
I never came to practice
drunk.
Yeah,
when you lived over around the block. What's with you, man? I had a bottle of wine with dinner.
With dinner, yeah. That's not
with
drunk.
Dinner.
That's social
drinking.
My favorite
drinking. Stories you tell me when you went back home after either we did a podcast or practice. No, it had to be a podcast.
Well, hold on. What you're referring to is when I moved in with the in-laws. Yeah. I'm living with the in-laws.
Right, sorry. I keep forgetting everybody.
Which is only a block away from the old studio.
Right.
So I used to walk to practice. It was great.
Yeah.
What was your favorite story?
And do the podcast.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Then you'd be like, oh, shit, man, it's late. The dad has a gun.
The dad's a Cook County sheriff as well.
So you go in there and you let the dog out, and then you run into the chimes for the doorbell.
Yeah, I ran into the chimes.
intruder.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
One of the other...
One of the other nights I came home really late. I went to flip,
there he is.
I went to flip on a light, and my hand caught like a cup, and the cup was filled with like a thousand pens and pencils, and I knocked it off the counter.
With your big simian arms, gorilla.
My big mitts,
and your flippers.
It took another 30 minutes to pick all that crap up and put it back in the cup.
That is hilarious. That had to be such a nightmare for you, too, man.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. If I didn't have to let the dog out, I think I would have been all right.
Clang, ling, ling. Oh, that would be so goddamn funny.
All right, now, for Phil, for fans of TTN, and we've grown exponentially over the last 2 months.
We have a clock in the studio with our Total Talk Nonsense on it.
We've doubled our listeners, John.
Really?
You know that. We went from 17 to 34 listeners in the past 2 months. So there's 17 new listeners that don't know who Phil is.
17,
so we'll give them a quick background.
Did you say 17 new?
17 new, yeah.
Oh.
Quick background on Phil. Now, you and Phil go way back.
Yeah.
Band-wise.
Before that, we knew each other in high school.
So, a kangaroo court, when you got together musically, that was Phil was a bass player with you and Rick.
Right.
But kinda, even before that, Phil asked me once to play a gig with him, remember? The Iron Rail.
Future management, yeah. That
I kind of chickened out of that gig because they're throwing like 50 songs at me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. When is this gig? Next week. What?
Sorry to spring this on you, but our bass player just had his stomach explode.
Yeah. So I'm going to play bass. You play drums, and we're going to... Oh, my God. I didn't play drums for that. No, you had your cousin or something.
We had a bass player sit in for my cousin, and then I played drums and sang. Yeah, it was fun.
And you were in Scratch and Sniff, too.
Scratch and Sniff.
Yes.
Cover band, played at Beacon about three
times.
One
of the first bands ever to play at the Beacon, along with Knob Rocks and Shattered Glass, and then later on Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
So it's really a small musical community.
Right, it is, because I played in a band with you, Scott.
Yes.
Knob Rocks, played at the Beacon. Played in a band with Marty, Shattered Glass, at the Beacon. Played in a band with Phil, not Scratch and Sniff,
kangaroo
but Knob Rocks and a Kangaroo Court. Yeah. Mm.
Right. Now, Phil, you spent the majority of that time playing with a Kangaroo Court. Would that be correct?
Well, yeah.
Playing bass?
On and off about 8 years. But
right. And now I'm the bass player. Is that awkward for you?
Not at all. Not at all.
It's awkward for me.
There were bass players before.
Is it really? That's weird.
A little bit.
There were a couple bass players before me and...
Yeah, drummers before me.
So, I mean...
And after?
It's just a rotating door.
John, when we kick Rick out and bring Zach on board, do you think it'll be awkward for him?
I'm thinking we got a band right here.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
That punk band we've been talking about.
Right on. What was the name of that band?
Phil never get a chance to play any real music. It always be the fucking downbeat shit. It makes his ears bleed. I'm sorry, what'd you say? What was the name of what band?
The punk band we were going to have. Didn't we have a name? You didn't like any of my
the
names.
The Shocker?
No. I can't remember. All right, so Phil.
Stinky
Pink
Finger?
Just a couple of quick questions. Get you.
The Brown Note?
More information for the audience there. Religion, where are you there?
Oh, I'm for the abolition of all religions.
You are a meathead.
Abolition, John, what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Do away with.
Absolute,
do away with, there you go.
Abolish, right, abolishment.
Of all religions, so you don't believe in God, creator?
No, not really.
Not really. What does that mean, not really?
Not really,
so
no.
I might, but no. Not really.
Yeah, listen to Scott, who said, yeah, I got the plan. I know what I'm supposed to say just in case.
I didn't say that. I was giving that information to our listeners.
Oh.
In case the rapture is actually happening, There's a prayer that
actually,
you can say.
Phil turned me on to a movie called The Rapture.
Was that with Mimi Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember
good,
that,
good
Phil?
Flick, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the one with Mimi Rogers? She runs around her house naked the whole time. A masseuse comes over to massage her. And whoa. So for 90 minutes, she's naked. And it's just a movie of her naked having a conversation with her masseuse. It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yes, get the title to us.
What is it?
I forgot the title, but I'm sure if you go to IMDb and look up Mimi Rogers.
The masseuse?
Possibly. She just runs around naked the whole time.
Possibly. Nice.
Let's a little bit of politics. We'll get into politics later, but we got John McCain as the Republican nominee. Obama and Clinton still going at it. It looks like Obama will be the Democratic nominee. Who are you going to cast your vote for this upcoming presidential election there, Phil?
Not McCain.
McCain.
But it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of irrelevant even.
McLean.
He seems to be the guy, but man, it's another, you know, it's meet the old boss, same as the new boss thing.
Yeah,
right on, man. I love Who references.
Yeah.
Who?
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I mean, he's...
Who? Who?
He's a stay the course kind of guy, too, you know.
Right.
All right, then. I have an email quiz for you two. This is an audio quiz. This is me reading email in a past episode. And the first one of you two to name who is the sender of the email wins the quiz.
Sender?
Who composed this email? The first one to answer is the winner.
All right.
So go ahead and you can play email.
Hi, guys. Great couple of episodes lately, 87 and 88. You guys are back in fine form.
I already
when
know.
When did we ever leave fine form?
I don't know.
That's what I want.
I think he's dissing us. Right
keep
there.
Up the level-headed yet hilarious insanity. John, I hope your blood pressure gets into a safe and healthy range.
It's got to be Phil.
He caused it to get that way.
That's right.
So I thought a couple of more euphemisms for the male masturbation. And he chimes in with slapping the salami, flogging the bishop, beating off.
Flogging the bishop.
Beating Mr. Happy, and his personal favorite, making it shiny. And he signs it Gene Jass. Gene Jass.
I thought of another one just now. Painting the ceiling.
Gene Jass. Now, wait a minute. Gene Jass. Was that a typo on your part, Phil? Gene Jass?
I think that was the early...
The early
version of Gene Jass.
Gene Jass. Now, early on in your email, you said that the shows have been getting much better. So what was with the shows before that? They were lackadaisical?
I must have gotten that impression, but I'm not sure why. You know, sometimes.
You got to understand, Phil, that the only reason we do this is so Scott can hear himself.
I hear
that's
that.
It. He could care less if we got one listener, and it's him.
Oh, we'll always have one listener, John. I couldn't care less if we had two. Now, the other thing, when's the last time you made it shiny?
Oh, God. I'm not going to answer that.
Boy, isn't he going to answer. Come on, John.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
What do you mean?
He will not answer our questions. What kind of a guest is this?
What kind of question is that? When's the last time you masturbated?
Not today.
From one man to another.
Not today is an answer. That's an acceptable answer.
I start every morning.
Yeah, you know, his brother listens to the show. I could see a Christmas dinner, you know. Have you guys heard Phil on the TTN talking about when he last masturbated?
All right, so now you're a listener of ours. What other podcast do you listen to? Anybody you want to get a shout-out to?
I have checked out Punky and through you guys, you know, Punky and Mediocre Show.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just to hear what the fuss was all about.
What the fuss? Yeah. John's got his Mediocre hoodie in the in the other room.
Hanging up, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
That is one big pile.
Speaking of the Mediocre Show, you know what they're doing now is... they're putting a podcast together. It's like 20 minutes long. It's six songs. They play six songs.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, what is this? I don't want this. I don't want to download this. So I'm thinking they need to move that to another thread.
Well, I wonder if they're
thread.
Getting permission.
What do you mean, permission?
To play six songs.
From who?
From the bands that they're playing the songs.
I would assume so. They got a little advertisement at the front, and then they play six songs.
Nice.
And I just noticed this today because I go to refresh my iTunes, you know, and it starts downloading the Mediocre Show. I'm like, what's going on? They record on Wednesday. I shouldn't get that until Thursday. And then right. I remember that they had mentioned on the show that they were going to do this. They call it the six pack.
Ah.
And it's six songs, but
nice.
Really, I really could not care less about these songs.
You motherfucker.
Get it out of the feed. Now, if you want to do one or two to make people aware of it and then move it to another thread, that's fine. But if it continues to be downloaded, I'm gonna have to personally reach out to an Eric tomorrow.
That's right.
And tell him that you need to move that out of there. I can't have that.
Right. You can't have it.
No, I can't have it. And if I want, like, if I want to listen to it, then I'll go find it.
What?
But it's kind of being force-fed to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah, I was thinking about the whole, you mentioned something about ads or corporate sponsorship. Being that this is such a anonymous form out there, how would a corporation contact a podcast to actually become a sponsor?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm sure there's middlemen involved.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the podcasts have websites and whatnot, so yeah. They have email addresses.
Right.
That's not John and my goal, though. Our goal.
Sure.
Our goal is to avoid sponsorship at all costs and make no money on this whatsoever.
What?
Well, because you get a sponsor, and then you got to, you know, they might not like what you're saying.
No, no, no. It's all, I know what you're saying, but they can't control the content if,
Look, John, we're paying you $100,000
right,
a year.
If you have a contract
Don't
with
mention
them.
Cock anymore.
We have standards.
Docking? Come on! Who docks?
So it's a form of censorship.
Right.
Well,
yeah, like Punky.
If you're working for somebody, and, you know, you're right, but if you negotiate it and you say, hey, here's the deal, you're buying the whole package. And I know what you're saying, because it happened to Howard Stern.
Right. Deals
changed.
He got
suppressed. He was oppressed.
Well, that's right? What appeals to me about podcasts is people say whatever the fuck they want to say.
No fucking way. I mean, no fucking doubt. I mean, right?
Right on.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Totally.
Totally. Talk nonsense.
Right on. Oh, speaking of other podcasts, Punky. I pulled a clip from Punky. They had something to say about our podcast.
Really?
You want to go ahead and play it?
Now, nice.
They still. You, I think really we should book a trip over there. We should fly over there, and you should just spend 2 hours with them and get their setup correctly. This audio is for shit.
It's terrible. Huh?
It's terrible for this great podcast.
Yeah,
it's really
world
a turnoff.
World class.
It can't be world class if the production remains in the toilet. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying, man.
The content is exceptional. The production could be worked on. So we really, maybe they, you know, because they have sponsors, their sponsors could
right.
pay for our plane tickets to go over
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
Ah, I see what he did there.
See, to help them set
Clever.
Up their equipment appropriately,
to
or maybe even get them
about.
Equipment to record appropriately,
right.
because it's really heavy on the bass. There's no trebly at all.
No trebly.
And, so I pulled this clip. And I feel bad about saying all this because they had some nice things to say about our show. But
all right.
Again, Punky, one of my favorites. John, do you still listen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Okay, good.
Hey, Total Talk Nonsense.
Yes.
Our other favorite podcast.
Yes.
I don't know what happened, but I had managed to unsubscribe to them before Christmas, and I've only just realized. Anyway, I'm back on, and their latest show is a sprawling mess of fun and games. It's just worth listening to the first half hour. I don't mean not the rest of it. But they've got Stephen Hawking in the studio.
That's a scoop.
Yeah. He provides plenty of intellectual tomfoolery, but you know what? I think it might just be Scott doing an impression of him.
No. I'm sure it's not.
There are a couple of... just a couple of little things I noticed that made me think it might not be Stephen Hawking.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a couple of intonations.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that he didn't sound like a speak and spell.
Ah, okay.
So he thinks Stephen Hawking was a fraud. How goddamn
ridiculous. Oh, yeah, real fraud pushing that goddamn wheelchair up the stairs.
Can we go after them for slander? Or libel? One of those?
Yeah, maybe.
Because we had Stephen Hawking here.
Right.
In the studio, John. All right, then. Check out Punky at Punky Radio with Paul D and Tony Hearn. When you get the chance. Oh, MySpace. We have a new MySpace friend, John.
We do.
Coffee Junkies Cafe, which is a podcast. They're on episode 38. Coffee Junkies Cafe.
Coffee Junkies Cafe.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Did you check it out?
I did for about 5 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Guys sitting around talking about movies. They talked about movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We talked about movies.
That's cool.
Hey, Phil, did you hear our 10 movies we fucking hate?
Yes, heard them all.
And when you were listening to that, did you think to yourself, how could they possibly forget this movie? Because this movie, I fucking hate. Was there something that we didn't include that you thought should get mentioned?
None that, well, I was thinking, I don't really hate, you know, really passionately hate any particular movies, but there were some real just, I mean, like...
stinkers.
Footloose and Dirty Dancing.
What? How dare you? Footloose? I don't know. There's a great fight scene at the end,
man.
That
is so offensive to me that Footloose is
one. How dare you?
With Kevin Bacon? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I knew, you know, the Adam Sandler.
Gotta cut loose, Footloose. Kick off your Sunday shoes. Ooh-wee, Louie.
Somebody else mentioned Dirty Dancing.
Let's dance.
That's not a hateable movie, Dirty Dancing.
No, but what I like about the movie is you see this town. They just start, they go every
direction. Dancing.
Well, no, they get into this whole religion thing, and they get preacher brainwashing them. And they even start burning books. He brainwashed them.
Yeah, I mean, it did make a good statement on that whole thing, because... now we're looking at another crazy preacher having an effect on, you know, political candidate, and best to like distance yourself from the get go,
right?
From your
what?
Oh,
your life. You know?
Wow.
Ow. What?
I mean, almost everybody who's like who grew up in the Catholic Church is sort of like denying that. You know, they're like, well, I grew up Catholic, but you know, that's behind me, and I'm sort of reformed.
No pun intended.
Yeah. It's messed up, man. Just be glad you
weren't behind me,
John.
The father.
Be glad you weren't an altar boy.
Nice.
All right, then. Now, last week, have you heard episode 124, Phil?
Certainly.
Okay. One of the things that John accused me of was a bias, if you will, when editing the great rockumentary Catheter, which can be found on Google Video and also be found on our website, TotalTalkNonsense.com.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, Michael Moore.
What he accused me of was asking you a question, laughing at my question.
No.
Which made you laugh.
No,
it was
laughing editing at Phil's response.
Out, yes. Editing out my laugh, and then it led the viewer to believe something that didn't really happen.
Mm. In your defense,
in
I
my
say,
defense, I brought the clip in.
Mm-hmm. I laughed.
God, what?
I laughed without provocation.
Listen to the clip, and you will hear Phil laugh first and me laugh later. There is no editing of my laughing that is cut out.
Sure.
Well, which one am I supposed to play?
Phil
talent. Catheter movie Phil Talent.
How dare I?
Because the question was, is who is the most talented in catheter? Go ahead whenever you're ready, John.
It's probably Marty.
So, did you hear Phil laugh first, and then I, with the snaggle tooth, came in later?
Like, why are you saying that?
Because of the look on your face probably made Phil laugh.
I'm behind the camera. You can't see my face.
Yeah, you probably took your face from behind it and went like,
okay,
what?
Now you're speculating. Okay, last week it was fact that I was biased and I edited this. And now it's speculation. Okay.
No, I laughed. I when I heard it come out of my mouth, I cracked myself up.
It's probably Marty.
All right. I apologize, Scott. You are those who make documentaries should bow down to your unbiasedness.
Unbiasedness. That's right.
It's just that's, you know, I don't know how. There was a montage of Kevin's gay.
We'll get to that later.
How that actually...
We'll get to that. I'll address that as well, John. We'll get to that later.
It's a bunch of shit.
So what we're talking about is the catheter rockumentary. How long ago was this?
This is a disgusting display of advertisement for your...
How long ago was this?
Too long. Not long enough.
Was this pre-9/11 or after 9/11?
After,
because
so we talking 5 years ago,
nearly six.
Wow,
yeah, Marty joined up in the Air Force, and that's when I said, "Okay, I'm out of the band."
Okay, and that was after
because he was going to be gone for 6 months. I saw no point in paying rent and practicing, and I don't know.
All right, play this next clip. This is Phil talking about you, John, and I just want to get some clarification on this. This is catheter movie. Phil, play that clip.
Catheter movie Phil. Yeah, that's not here. I don't...
Come on, man.
I don't have that one.
Hold on. My iPod.
I'm looking. Shut your ass up. I'm looking. Hold on. Catheter movie Phil Talent.
Catheter movie Phil.
No, Phil Talent.
There's no catheter movie Phil.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. I didn't drag it over. Here we go.
Drummer is John Morley.
What do we say about what last names?
We can bonk that out.
Drummer is John Morley. He's good. He thinks he's better than he is.
I just wanted to get some clarification.
See how he likes to embarrass people and put them on the spot?
No, what does that mean? He thinks he's better than he is. I'm just wondering when Phil made that observation or when he came to that realization.
I think in that moment, I just sort of thought it. But no, and it's good. It's a good thing. It's it's a belief in oneself.
To be a good drummer, you need to believe that you're better than you are, what you're saying.
You're on top of it. You can... You know, get with it.
I am the best. There's no. why would you even question that?
There's a
everybody knows
level.
I'm the best drummer ever.
He has referred to himself as the great John.
The great John, drummer.
I've played with not a lot of drummers, but John is definitely the best of all the drummers I've played with. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is not a big pile of shit. Phil, have you played with a better drummer than John?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I haven't. So you're the best drummer that we've ever played with.
And he will concur to that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. No doubt.
All right.
And I told this story before. It's been a hard road getting back to what a kangaroo court used to be because, you know, no offense to Tony Rossi, who Rick was playing with, but...
So you left the band.
I left the band
for a while.
And he joined it, and he's a very steady, Beatle-ish kind of Ringo drummer, you know.
A little soft.
Yeah. And Rick tried to continue with the raucous Kangaroo Court sound with Tony playing drums, and it.
You never played with Tony, did you, Phil?
I think one game we tried.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think John was out of town, and we had something booked, and we just did it. But it was, and it was trying to do, you know, it was not easy to just replace somebody who was so
talented. That's what you're saying.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. I just
distinctive.
I just want you guys to shower me with, you know, your
Well, of
grace.
Course, I thought we already did that. Yeah, we just enough. Said that you were the best drummer we've ever played
it's
with.
It's not enough because, you know.
I didn't want to mention Scott Lang, but
oh Jesus Christ! You know why? Why do you got to do that? Why?
I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
That's an April Fool's
joke. I'm
taking
my shit.
Come on, man.
Leaving. That's it. I've had it.
That's an April Fool's joke.
Digging me with that, you and Dan. I don't understand that shit. Rick used to pull that on me too. You remember Phil?
Oh,
he'd start that Mike Godsey shit on me. Oh, you know, Mike used to play it like this. Maybe you weren't in the band yet. One time, Rick just bolted. He just took off, and I was stuck with the old bass player. What was his name? Chris? And I'm like, what's up with him? He goes, I don't know, man. He's always like that. Last practice, he drove me home, and all he did was bitch. He's like, what does this fucking guy think he's Neil Peart on every song? Every song, it's got to be a roll for 5 minutes and this and that. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm like, well, why does he just say, you know? No, okay, now I see why he's always saying less is more, less is more. Because, you know, back in the day, I was listening to a lot of Weckl, you know?
Right.
So I was doing all that goofy off-time shit.
Yeah, Billy, Billy, Billy.
Yeah. Biddly biddly. And that hurt me, man. That he didn't just come up and say, hey, dude, you gotta just chill out. Just play a straight beat. I can't follow all that other stuff.
So is that why a Scott Lang reference have you ever seen Scott Lang play?
No.
Cause he was like a Neil Peart wannabe. He had the double bass and the 400 toms. So I thought maybe, you know, that with that correlation where
golly, he's got so many drums.
You wanted to play like Neil Peart. Rick said, hey, I don't need that shit. And here's Scott Lang who's has the freedom to play like a Neil Peart.
No. It was something, and I'm just kidding now, of course, but back in the day, you said something one day, and I was like, well, fuck you, man. You and Dan. And then Dan's like, yeah, we're going to get Scott Lang. But what's his number again? 5? What? I was like, okay, fuckers.
So Scott Lang is his brother-in-law
now. I started out doing my cymbals, and Brian's going, oh, come on. Oh, can't we just get along? No, fuck that, man. Fucking powder over there. You know.
And look where we are today.
Yeah.
It just brought us closer.
Yeah.
That's
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, you had to get it out of your system.
All right. Now, moving on, since Phil is here, and something we've talked about in the past is discussing one of the former Catheter members, Kevin Burns. We can use his last name because he wants the
notoriety.
The notoriety in the audience. So, Kevin Burns, let's play a quick clip of Kevin Burns. This is from the Catheter movie. I actually took 3 sound bites out and slapped them together. And he's talking about John leaving the band. And just listen within a 30-second span of time how his opinion changes from John can't be replaced to, yeah, if we have to, we'll replace him. Go ahead and play Catheter movie, John Leaving.
John cannot be replaced if John leaves. That's like saying if your father dies, will your stepfather replace him? Cannot stress the importance enough of not chopping something off at the knees when it's just started, you know, it started taking off. If he goes that route, you know, we can bring another drummer in.
So he starts out by saying there's no way that you can replace John. It would be like a stepfather trying to replace a father.
You can't chop it off the knees when it's taken off like a rocket, you know,
knees. So yeah, if you did leave, we'd just replace them anyway.
It was a long night and a long interview.
Wasn't it?
Because the three of them, they're like twins.
I think he was referring to that sort of like telekinetic, you know, communication that twins have.
But the three of them.
Yeah, but three people.
So now Kevin was brought in to replace Brian.
Yeah.
Who was dismissed from Catheter. Was it a mutual?
No, it was a mutual, but Phil couldn't wait, man. He gave him this freaking walk of shame right before we got there. We're like, okay, Phil, we're all going to, you know, talk to Brian, just, you know, to soften the blow. Cause you know, it's just not working out. He's, you know, great guy. He's one of our best friends and it's always hard to do. Yeah. Yeah. We get there. Phil's pacing around the parking lot. And we got there late, I think, cause we wanted to watch the W talk or something on TV.
You know what? Actually, you guys went to Brian's house and Brian came out to the studio.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, he's out here already, man. You're going to meet him and then talk to him out in Villa Park.
So he didn't have to make the ride in.
Right. And we get there and he's there. And so I just start right away. Hey, Brian, we want to talk to you about something. And fuck you guys. I already know. Fuck you. I quit the band. Phil already told me. Okay. Yeah. I'm losing my job and now I'm out of Catheter. Fuck all of you. Okay.
No, he said this. This band's not going anywhere anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
But
yeah.
Okay. So then why was he so upset?
No, I you know what? I don't think I didn't
Come
really
Who would
that,
be upset, man? It's like
I wouldn't be.
I just regret the whole thing.
All right, we got some news for you. That's why Phil's here.
Kick me out of the band. I'm going to say your loss, MF-er.
See, but you're not going to be upset.
No, I won't be upset. I won't be upset. I got to throw in a motherfucker. Come on. You just kicked me out of the band.
Rock on.
All right, so Kevin comes in. He replaces Brian, and then it's all captured in the movie.
Shameless. Shameless.
But then John eventually leaves the band, right? So they book three gigs. John leaves. Here's what Kevin. Now, Kevin's moved down to Texas. He is an acoustic guitar player, singer, songwriter in Texas. He has a MySpace page, John. Now, if you go to his MySpace page, you get a link to his personal website, which I'm assuming he created. But he hasn't updated this thing since 2006. But it's still out here. And here's what he had to say about Catheter on his website. So he's giving his history as a musician. And Catheter gets a paragraph on his website. And he says, "The new millennium brought me to Chicago and the band Catheter, looking for a rhythm guitarist." Okay, I don't want to mention anything, but he has a
here we go.
Yeah, I won't talk about
Mr.
his
grammar. You know, that'll upset him too.
"Playing amped up, humorous, and hard rocking originals, as well as working with older, more experienced musicians, showed me the ups and downs of being in a band and the difficulties of booking and management. A volatile mix of personalities and issues festering long before my birth led to the demise of the group
old.
And only a scant few copies of our album, Soapy Orifice, remain." So I
no
sense
doubt.
A lot of animosity in that paragraph there. Festering, older, just laced with subtle digs at Catheter and the Catheter experience.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, John. What other band was he in that garnered the making of a rockumentary?
He was never
None.
In another band, I don't think at all.
No, he mentions other bands in his history.
I think he did join a band when he got to Texas, but
well, yeah, but I mean before Catheter.
Oh, before Catheter. Now, how old is
college.
Kevin? How old is he?
Seven.
Around 30.
Seven.
He's probably close to 30 now.
30?
Yeah.
If you go to his MySpace page, he has some, I'm assuming they're new photographs.
Yeah.
he looks older than all of us combined.
Yeah, with that hair.
Yeah. And that's got to, in his face, his mug. I mean, the losing of his hair is just, I think, really weighing heavily on him. And you could see it in his face.
Maybe it's, the marriage, you know.
Because when
is he married?
Did he get married?
Yeah, he did get married.
Oh that could be it, too.
That'll put anybody over that.
Boy, he doesn't mention any of that on any of his websites. Doesn't mention his wife at all.
His MySpace is all chicks as his friends.
Maybe one of them's his wife. I don't know. But
she's my sugar mama. Yeah.
The one observation that I made when filming the movie and getting to know Kevin is that the time and the detail that he spent on his hair. I never actually saw him working on his hair, but his hair was always in perfect placement and perfectly frosted.
Pristine condition.
And to have it fall out of his head has got to be completely devastating for a Kevin Burns, in my opinion. But the one thing, we talked about this on the show, one thing Kevin, this is 6 years ago, and Kevin nailed, well, not really, but he nailed Britney Spears and the aura of Britney Spears.
The essence of Britney.
So one of the questions I asked is, because at the time you guys had Britney posters all over the studio.
Yeah.
And I asked, what's with Britney? So this next clip is just all of the members of Catheter talking about Britney, but you'll hear Kevin say very negative things about Britney, and this is 6 years ago. And he almost predicted the future here, John.
Oh, no doubt.
So this is...
Britney Spears is a goddess to Catheter.
Britney Spears, I think, has an influence on Catheter's libidos.
Britney Spears' special influence that she has on this band really comes from Phil.
The reason we keep images of Britney around is just to perk up the day, you know?
I think Britney is has always been motivation for us. One of our songs is called Britney, and it's about a stalker who follows Britney around.
Our music is about Britney Spears. It's all for her. Every note.
Frankly, I'm not a fan. I think she's kind of a slut.
I mean, she sucks my ass as a musician, but she sure is fucking pretty to look at, man.
She looks like she's got, you know, downs or something to me.
She's just a delicious little slut, and, you know, she just brightens our day.
But she's the epitome of a gorgeous pop star person type thing.
Frankly, if she fell off the face of the earth tomorrow and stopped making music, I wouldn't shed a tear.
If we had more luscious babes to post on the walls, we'd put them up.
She's a good motivator. Gwen Stefani as well. Whew. Beautiful.
Nothing more than, you know, a little snap in the trousers. You know, that's all she's good for.
Right. It's my favorite.
Snap in the trousers. So, Kevin, genius. One can say a genius. For observing the fact that Britney was a slut back then and may have Down syndrome.
mental instability.
That's just not nice. A slut with Down syndrome.
That is not nice. All right, and then the last clip I have from the great Catheter documentary. Now, John, you accuse me all the time of editing this to my own bias.
Yeah.
Now, this question that came up that I asked in the movie, and I asked of everybody, was, is Kevin gay? Because while asking these other questions, I would hear comments. I would hear from one of you guys and then hear from somebody else. And it gave me the impression that you all thought he was gay. So that's why I asked the question. And now when I asked the question, I got the responses. I stayed out of it, and I just played the responses. I don't see how that is biased in any way. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But we'll let the audience be the judge.
Like the audience be the judge.
Right, they audience.
They need to watch this video, which is out on YouTube at 772.
No, I brought the clip of... this. So I asked everybody in Catheter, is
Kevin, and I even asked Kevin, is Kevin gay? Is the question.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want me to play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, then say, go ahead and play the clip.
I thought we had like a nonverbal thing going.
What, telepathic?
Yeah, that's what you call it, a telepathic.
Well, you could look at him. He wears that white Elvis belt, and he's got the curly blonde hair. And some might say he's gay. I don't know. I don't know if he is or not.
Kevin Burns is not, has not ever been, and never will be gay.
He's kind of latent and homosexual, but I'm just waiting for him to come out the closet. He'll get there, though. Cute guy. Very cute man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you're marching to that drummer, right on. God bless you. Go to town, brother. Get yours.
Gay? No. Insecure and likes to be liked? Yes. But who doesn't like to be liked? We all like to be liked.
I have two older brothers at home, and every time I'm out with those guys, they introduce me as the gay brother.
It's possible. He might be latent. He's one of those really right-wing Republican types.
I walk to the beat of a little different drummer than most of the guys do. I dress a little bit differently. I dress a little and act a little bit more flamboyantly.
And, you know, wears real neat clothes and primps his curly hair all the time. But I don't know if that means you're gay or not. I don't know.
I think there's some envy, you know, and some in a more of a reminiscent way.
Kevin's not gay. At least he told me that in a shower the other night.
If this is viewed by any young single women, you can take that to heart. And
Kevin might be gay.
I've been called a pretty boy my whole life. These guys call me
insecure,
latent, and homosexual.
Homophobic.
Gay.
Gay.
Gay?
He's gay.
You're gay. Come out of the closet, buddy. We'll still love you. It's all right.
Exactly what I'm saying. You proved my point right there.
How did I prove your
point? I never said he was gay. I said he might be gay. I don't know if that means he's gay or not. And you took, he's gay. Just that two words. He's gay.
You said he's gay.
I said,
where did I get those words?
I don't know if he's gay or not. And you took, he's gay. Fucking Bill O'Reilly sitting right there.
I never got
full
to weigh
shit.
In on the question. And I'm
and all of a sudden you're in there, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you weren't?
I wasn't in that, and it's fine, because I probably would have said, I really have no idea, because I listened to Freddie Mercury for 25 years and never knew.
Listening to gay people doesn't make you gay.
No, I know, but
yes, it does.
How clueless I was.
Oh, like your gaydar. You have no gaydar.
I have no gaydar.
All right, well, just John's observations right there. I mean, he pretty much stated, right-wing Republican. What do we know about them, John?
More than gay, they're fucked up.
And I've never knew about his religion. Does he ever express his religious beliefs to anybody?
I don't know.
Can't recall.
I don't recall. No.
But to refer to oneself as, I dress a little more flamboyantly.
I beat to a different drummer or some shit like that.
When he's out with his brothers, they refer to him as the gay one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're
he's
just
gay.
Jealous.
That's why I'm so shocked when Phil says he's married.
Well, I heard he got married, so I don't know. And I met her, actually. I don't know where they met. They met down in Texas or what.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to get Kevin
on
the
show.
A couple
years ago.
Are they the same time zone in Texas as us, or is it a little bit different?
I think they might be in the same time zone, yeah.
We got to see if he has a Skype number and get him on the show. We need to have some questions for Kevin Burns. All right, so now we did all this talking about him. I think we should at least play one of his songs.
Oops. I
unplugged
him.
Off of MySpace. It's what he's doing now in Texas.
You didn't have to say you were sorry for things you said to me. You didn't need to apologize for me.
He's talking about Britney.
You shouldn't have. Backpedal to make it up to me. You shouldn't have to explain what you're feeling.
I think he's talking about George Michael.
And it's so kind of you. Pain
what happened?
I don't know.
It's different.
don't know, man. It's his MySpace. But I love you and you never have to say I'm sorry. Could tune the guitar a little.
Yeah, this is off his CD.
Sorry.
I didn't have to prove my love with tears up in my eyes.
Yeah, I think we've heard enough.
Didn't have to make you...
Every rose has its thorn.
I think he needs a lozenge.
So you think he does that on purpose?
It's, yeah, it's so stretchy. Like,
hey, I whisper when I sing. I was now staring at the screen. Life passed me by, I miss it all. I wonder how I live this way. Will I make it, will I fade? Backbeat down in callous hands. I hang my head and snooze again.
We're laughing, but he's going to win a Grammy or something. You
I
know?
Can't keep up. His lyrics go too fast for me.
Yeah, I think the voice was better on that one. At least it was a little more...
I like to whisper when I sing.
A little more natural.
It brings out the phlegm within my load.
Well,
my loins are aching for your thing.
All right, so check out Kevin Burns. You can find him on MySpace. Oh, I did.
Or www.
Ask him to be our friend.
KevinBurns.com.
I think it's .net.
Oh, .net. You're right. You're right.
I did ask him to be our friend on MySpace.
That's nice.
GTN friend.
Yeah. Let's see if he responds to that. Maybe we can get him on the show. See if he's really married.
All right. See if he's really married.
Yeah.
Oh, can you marry men in Texas?
Maybe that's why he moved there,
oh,
man.
Steers and queers. I just, after all this stuff, I know we got a lot of laughs out of, like, you know, having him in the band and the history there, but it's like, I don't know. I just regret leaving anybody ever leaving a band. I wish I'd never left a band, you know, to say I'm leaving or quit or whatever. I think just take time off, you know, say I need some time.
Oh, that's
off.
What I'm doing. I'm just taking time
like
off.
Like, I wish I had taken,
until
you know,
I'm so dead.
I just need a little time off, you know, from Kangaroo Court or whatever, and then been able to come back. Or, you know, Catheter, you could, you know, it would be easier to, like, say, you know, well, we're just taking time off.
I have a hard time playing with Marty for a long period of time.
So does everyone.
I'm sure everybody has the same story about me, but which is, you know, fine. And
I don't. I've been playing with you for 3 years. I don't have that story.
Really?
Yeah, but what disturbs me is Phil just said, you know, I wish I would have just said I'm taking time off instead of quitting. That way, I would still be the bass player for a Kangaroo Court. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It was subtle. But that's the awkwardness I'm talking about. You
well,
know,
the option is always there to, like, say, you know, maybe I'm interested in coming back or whatever, you know.
Right.
Like, it's indefinite. But, you know, that's what I could take away from all this, you know, reflecting on it.
Well, this is basically why I asked him to come, Scott.
You got some news for me?
April Fools!
Yeah. Yeah, we could forget about the block party gig that bad.
And all those contacts, man.
Everybody that ever played with pops
That's
out
right.
from behind a door. We're ready to reunite.
Yeah, John Sternberg.
Spermy.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, that was, you know what's funny, though, is Rick always blames shit on me. He told Spermy that it was all my idea to kick him out of the band. And, you know, we never really kicked him out of the band. We just stopped calling him for practice because he never showed up. So he said, okay, well, screw this. And Scott, we were out eating or something somewhere, right, for one of your Christmas gatherings?
Maybe, yeah.
At Mrs. P and me. And Nick,
so not only did I suggest becoming the bass player, I got us a gig.
No, you got a gig, and you said, we'll put some band together. And then I said to Rick, yeah, Scott's been bugging me to play bass with us. What do you think? And he's like, I don't care. I go, well, he got a gig for us if we want it.
I was bugging you?
Yeah.
I think I may have mentioned it once. That's bugging?
Yeah. Oh, man, we got to find a bass player. Hey, I play bass.
Yeah,
hey,
well, why can't I try out?
Why can't I try out? What?
It's only four strings.
Yeah, you'll never. Yeah. No, he only plays one, Phil. Have you ever seen him play? He doesn't need all four.
Well, you don't. You only need one at a time.
Just no, he uses one.
Hey, I think I heard some bass chords.
He does do that.
And I was like, hey.
That's usually a mistake when I hit two strings at once.
I was like, that is totally hot.
No, he's like, yeah, hey, man, you never ask me. I don't ask you because you won't practice. You won't come to practice. You won't do the gigs.
Wait a minute. Where do you get the idea that I wouldn't come to practice and I wouldn't do gigs?
Well, okay, I didn't mean come to practice, but you wouldn't practice.
Woodshed.
It would be like you'd come to practice and you'd learn the songs all over again.
Okay, so you were right about that.
Yes.
But I do come to the gigs.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, man.
All right.
Okay, I'm not saying I was right.
Hey, we just need a body up here, you know? Just show up.
We had Sternberg in the band, and Phil's brother saw us playing. He said to Phil, hey, who is that playing bass? Is that Rick's dad?
T-Bone!
Yeah! That's the funniest thing I ever heard,
that
man.
That killed me.
Is that Rick's dad up there? Oh, my God.
Oh.
That we is love. Out of sight.
We tease because we love.
Out of sight.
Yeah, good ball busting is funny. Sure. I was telling a story to my kids this weekend. Oh, this is great. So we're coming back from Chevy's. You ever eat there? Chevy's Mexican place?
No.
Pretty good restaurant. We're coming back.
Up by Woodfield?
Yeah. And I'm a little liquored up. The wife's driving. Yeah. And we're joking around, and I'm telling the kids a story about how I always fuck around with people all the time. You know that, Phil. Sure. Scott. And especially in the car, you know, like I'll hit the brakes and go, oh my God, and everybody will scream, you know, especially if they're sleeping.
Right, right.
And I was telling the kids a story that I got mom all pissed at me because we were driving to a restaurant. And we were driving on the left side of a main road, on a frontage road at night in Arizona. And as we came around a turn, I told her she was on the wrong side of the road. I said, you're on the wrong side of the road. You're on the wrong side. No, I'm not. This is a frontage road. I'm on the right side of the road. I go, no, you're on the wrong side of the road. Here comes the car. Oh, my God. And the car literally looked like it was coming at us. And she steers off the road into gravel and grass. And I start cracking up. And the car just passes by, you know, on the other side of the curb. And she was so pissed at me. So we're in this restaurant. And we're drinking margaritas and eating. Finally, she calms down, and we're all hammered, and we walk out, and she's driving us home. And I'm telling her a story while she's driving, and she goes, "Oh my God!" and slams on the brakes as hard as she can, and my face comes with it. I could feel the dashboard just nick my cheekbone, and I go, "What the fuck? Fuck, what are you doing? What happened? How do you like it?"
Touche.
Touche, yeah.
Nice.
So kudos to my wife for the payback. Very nicely done.
Nice.
I must say.
Nearly splitting your face open.
Yeah, but she doesn't. So anyways, I tell the story. And the kids are goofing around, and the wife decides to turn up the radio in the car. This is just happening. And she goes to tells the kids to be quiet, and that's why she turned it up. And she goes to turn it down, and she's not paying attention to the cars in front of her. And literally, instead of locking them up, she had to swerve the car into almost oncoming traffic.
Yikes.
It was great.
So as long as no one was hurt.
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, man. It's bad.
Another thing she told me, I was laying on the couch watching TV. She comes up to me. She says, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. Why?" She goes, I don't know. I think you need to see the doctor. I said, "Why?" "To have the couch removed from your ass." It's good, ain't it?
It's good, yeah.
It's good. Wives are clever. Some wives are.
Yeah. It's,
that is one big pile of shit.
It is a big pile of shit. I was driving TP around one time in the Honda.
Yeah.
And I told him, Tony, you should put a seatbelt on. He didn't listen to me. I guess it's not cool or whatever. So within 5 minutes, we're driving through a green light, and this guy blows a red light, and I got to lock him up. And he, his head hit my mirror, and he, like, smooshed into the windshield. Fucked up my rearview mirror. Flopped back in the chair and put his seatbelt on.
And that seemed to satisfy his curiosity. Yes.
Phil almost killed Rick and I once.
Several times. Oh, yeah. What are you going for?
Going through an intersection, man, and cars are flying by. And then he decides to stop. Don't stop, go! And he says, as he stops with the traffic about to sandwich us, "Don't look now, we're about to die."
He remained calm, though.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
We went to see a band or something in Wrigleyville, and Phil's parallel parking, and he's backing up, and he hits the car behind him, and he goes, "Oh, no alarm."
Well, thankfully,
no alarm.
It's, hey, man, it's war situation out there in Chicago traffic.
All right, then, before we turn to miscellaneous, John.
We got to take a break because I got to piss.
All right, let's go ahead and play this Katie Couric. It's a short clip. I brought it in because Katie Couric was on your top 10 doables of all time, John. And
no
I
doubt.
Think I know why now after you play this clip.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Mature, but people are still talking about possible vice presidential candidates. I know. Don't roll your eyes, Jeff. We've heard that Mike Huckabee, by cozying up to John McCain and helping him siphon off some of those conservative voters from Mitt Romney, may want to be vice president.
Suck off.
Oh, that's great.
It just takes slip of the tongue. Suck off, man.
Sucking, licking.
What was she doing earlier in the morning?
Let's hear that again.
Sure, but people are still talking about possible vice presidential candidates. I know, don't roll your eyes, Jeff. We've heard that Mike Huckabee, by cozying up to John McCain and helping him siphon off some of those conservative votes from Mitt Romney, may want to be vice president.
It's too late. It's too late. We already dropped our drawers.
Huckabee and McCain suck off the conservative voters. That's out of sight.
All right, we'll take a break. The song we're going to play is from the studio, which we talked about. We talked about going into the studio.
Yeah.
And this is students putting this together.
Students.
Guided by the teacher. And this is one of the two Disney songs
that
we did in the studio.
Disney. Here we go.
Standing on a dirty old rooftop, down below the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why. Come on, Johnny, keep moving forward. Hold your head up high, there's no time for looking down. You will not believe where we're going. Here we go, let me remind you. Look ahead, the past is behind you. We're the kids of the future. We're the kids of the future. Everybody live, cause the future is now.
Yeah, we are, man. We're the kids of the future.
Who Scott. Originally did that song?
Kim Wilde.
Kim Wilde, kids and it was...
in America.
Jonas Brothers did a version, and then we took it back.
Yeah, we didn't change it back to We're the Kids in America.
No. No, we didn't.
No, we kept it to the... what was that movie? Meet the Robinsons. Yeah, that's what it was in, and that's why it's We're the Kids of the Future. Oh, right. You could hear Phil flush the toilet. You hear that?
I did, yeah.
That's out of sight, man.
It is out of sight. You know, if we ever want to take a long break,
yeah,
we can play one of the stoner clips from MySpace.
Right, right.
Yeah. Those are always good for a giggle. A shit and a giggle. Like, if you had to take a shit, uh-oh. What was that? Was that
a teaser.
Was that Hannah Montana, man?
Yeah.
She's out of sight.
Hannah Montana. Well, not exactly Hannah Montana.
You know, maybe we could start telling people that Rick was the songwriter for that song. That's why he makes us play it.
That's why he makes us play it.
Gotta get the royalties, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Digital?
Yeah. And, as a matter of fact, the studio is all Pro Tools. And when we got done, I said, hey, man, can you just give me, I brought my hard drive, and I said, hey, put it on here, would you? And he said, what do you got? I said, I got Adobe Edition. Oh, no, it's not going to work. These are special Mac files, AIFF. It'll work. Just give them to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he...
He'll mess you up, man.
He consolidated them. And if you... What you don't hear on that is when we did it, we screwed up. I screwed up in the middle of the song. And we had to start from the middle and end the song, and he just put it all together, man. You can't even tell.
Groovy.
Right, Scott?
That's right, John. Hey, I need both of those without the vocals on them.
For what?
For my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I thought maybe you were going to put the lead on there, and I was
I could.
Going to help you.
Karaoke night at the Scotter's house.
And then I'll bring those recordings in.
Out of sight.
With the daughter singing.
Okay. And dad, you should be joining in.
All right, sure.
Teaching her
you know, there's High School Musical.
Right.
If you get the first CD, they have all the songs, and then they have all the songs just instrumental. So I've been talking her into we may do a duet. One of the High School Musical songs. I'll bring that in. That should be special, John. That'll be a special TPN treat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. That sounds good, man.
All right, here's something we reported on when it occurred a couple of months ago. But this is the follow-up to that story. 14 more members of a Russian cult that has been holed up in a cave for months awaiting the end of the world emerged Tuesday after melting snow caused more of their hillside cave to collapse. The group, which included two children aged 8 and 14, were in satisfactory condition. Regional emergency spokesman Dmitry Yeskin told the Associated Press. They moved to a nearby house where the group's leader, self-declared prophet Petrov Kostetskaskov, has been living. Again, another end-of-the-world cult.
Yeah.
In a cave for months. How goddamn embarrassing is that to walk out of the cave? How as embarrassing does that have to be? And here's what I don't understand. Yeskin said negotiators were trying to persuade the remaining 14 to come out. Why would they even waste their time?
Yeah, let them
stay in the
there.
Fucking cave as long as you want. And when it collapses, it will be the end of your yeah. world. What a bunch of dopes.
Over.
Yeah, that's messed up. There's probably a lot of that up. Going on in, you know, in the U.S. too, out in the Colorado hills and whatever.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of religious cults.
Preparing for the end of the world?
Yeah,
I know there's
the freaking,
lots of religious cults. I mean, let's talk about Scientology. How about
Waco,
that one?
The Waco thing, the compound, whatever. There's probably a lot of those.
I mean,
I
just don't get
hear
it.
About them.
But when you think about that, or when you think about a David Koresh or a Jim Johnson, those are cults gone bad. But what I think about is Jesus being the same type of charismatic leader that these people are. I mean, to convince people to go in a cave because the world's going to end, I mean, you have some major influence, whether that's brainwashing or hypnotism, whatever it is.
Well, you never know. The J-Man might have been just theorize that he was just this hippie kind of rebel, and he was railing against the bastardization of his religion, his Jewish religion, because of the connection to the money changers government. He didn't like the marriage between church and state.
Corruption.
And that's what, and corruption. That's why he flipped over the tables of the money changers. And then it took the Catholic Church
to bastardize the
religion and turn it into a coercion.
Let me ask you about the money changers. Is that where the hatred for the Jews comes from? Were they in control of the money at that time? Where is this universal hatred of the Jews come from? Is it because of these money changers?
I don't know.
Could be. Those biblical beliefs, you know.
All right, let me see how many more miscellaneous, just a couple. But do you guys want to know why suicide bombers shave their bodies?
Do tell, please.
Yeah.
U.S. forces rated a six. I'm sorry. U.S. forces rated a suicide bombing network in Iraq over the weekend, killing 12 men in the process. Six of the dead had shaved off their body hair, which military officials said is consistent with final preparation
for suicide operations.
Hmm. Okay, so John says it's the tape. Phil, do you have any idea
why
that
doesn't hurt as much when it explodes off
shave.
Your body.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with that.
Or if they change their mind and they...
Right.
Take this off of me!
Take this off of me!
Get the tape off quickly.
Get this goddamn tape off of me!
Phil, do you have any idea why they would do that?
I guess if you do change your mind, you know, ripping off the pubes would be quite painful.
It's interesting that Phil thinks that they would tape around their pubes.
That's right. It's
Is that the hide, the dynamite, like in the lower unit area?
Might as well go out with a bang. I don't know.
Well, the answer is because so he's clean when he enters heaven.
Right.
Traditionally, Muslims purify corpses by washing the skin and nails and sometimes by shaving the pubic hair. Can you imagine if you're, what do they call it in the States here when you prepare a body? What do they call those people?
Embalming? Or
the people who do it. The profession.
Mortician?
Mortician. Yeah. You're a mortician, and now your job includes shaving the pubes off a dead person?
Well, they got hair everywhere.
Right, where do you stop is the point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you want me to stop at the sweater on the back?
The
Oh, Phil, that wasn't
the
funny.
The neckline, yeah.
But suicide attackers are deprived of a proper burial since they are usually blown to smithereens. To compensate, the attackers shear themselves ahead of time, both to guarantee some level of cleanliness at the time of instant incineration or to prove extreme devotion to personal purity.
Cleanliness.
I got to tell you, the belief system and the mentality to shave your body before you kill yourself to get 72 virgins so you're clean going to heaven needs to be stamped out in whatever way possible. I'm just telling you.
I think the shaving is okay, but the blowing up has got to stop.
Right, but it all goes together. It's a whole package.
You figure if they stop the shaving, the blowing up will stop. I don't think
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the shaving adds another nail in the coffin for the mentality of these.
How about a nail in the head?
Mental midgets that need to be eliminated.
Doesn't the beard growing kind of contradict that whole thing? They got all the, you know, they got the crazy beards.
Well, if they shave those
crazy beard.
If you see Arabs walking around with no beards and their arms and legs shaved,
run for your life.
Right. Either that or they're a swimmer, you know, because I had to shave my body.
Make you more streamlined.
So gay.
Right on, Phil. So, not as gay as being a wrestler, though. I didn't have to actually touch somebody in spandex.
No, right. You just said to shave your homo body.
We would have shaving parties, though, in the shower room.
Shut up, man. You're going to make me throw up. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. It was like a tradition before sectionals or whatever the hell they
sexuals.
Called it. And then the state meet. You had to be all cleansly.
Before sexuals and before I received my state meet.
Homoerotic.
I was molested.
We have shaving
my freshman year.
Here we go.
Well,
now it comes out.
Molestation is an exaggeration, but I had no idea that you had to shave for these things, right?
I had no idea that a penis in my ass would be.
I show up to the district meet or whatever in my little Speedo, and all the varsity guys, the seniors, were like, hey, man, you didn't shave. Yeah, what? Shave what? You know, because I hadn't even gone through puberty then. I thought they were talking about my face.
Shave what?
Yeah, shave what? What are you talking about? And they held me down in the shower room and shaved me against my will.
Oh, man, that's rape.
So to avoid such experiences in the future, I took care of that before showing up at the pool for the big meets. You
nice.
Know what I'm saying?
Big meets.
Right on, John.
Before getting your big meat.
You know, also I've done triathlons, and some of the guys, you know, that ride bikes, not professionally, but
yeah, their balls are.
They
very
suggest
small.
That you shave your legs.
Oh, right. Yeah, my boss used to do that.
Do you know
my
why?
Because it bugs them or something.
No, because if you have road rash, it's a lot easier to clean if you don't have hair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I never did that though. No.
Take the pain.
Yeah, you were a man, all man.
I'm all man when it comes to riding a bike, man.
Yeah.
I'm all man when it comes to riding a bike. All right, I don't know if you've heard this, but a popular Muslim author who was baptized by Pope Benedict XVI said that his life is now in great danger because of his conversion to Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Did you guys hear that?
Catholicism?
It was on Easter. The Pope took a prominent Muslim and converted him.
No surprise at the reaction.
I realize what I am going up against, but I will confront my fate with my head high, with my back straight, and the interior strength of one who is certain about his faith, said Magdi Alam, formerly Italy's most prominent Muslim. The 55-year-old Egyptian-born writer wrote in the Sunday edition of the Corriere della Sera
the leading Italian newspaper with which he is a deputy director, that the root of evil is innate in an Islam that is psychologically violent and historically conflictual. Is that a word, conflictual?
Yeah, why not?
It must be. The guy's a writer, right?
Yeah.
So the Pope baptizes him on Easter.
So the Pope.
And then he's got a fear for his life.
I think Hinduism is the way to go.
I'll agree with you there, Phil. If you have to pick a religion, Hindu is the most cool one.
I prefer Buddha.
It is very cool.
Buddha's really not a religion. It's a way of life, John.
Groovy.
Oh, I'm sorry. How could it? What do you mean it's not a religion?
What appeals to you about Hinduism there, Phil?
Just the variety of gods, you know?
Well, there is the variety. What appeals to me is everybody is going to live 2,000 lives, and there's karma. So if you fuck up in one life, you'll pay for it in your next.
You come back as a cow.
Yeah, you like come back as Marty or something like that. and then you have to live 2,000 lives to gather all the intelligence you need to be one with God.
You will become a hemorrhoid on Marty's ass.
The one thing I disagree with, though, is fate. Everything is fated, so those 2,000 lives are already predestined for you.
Yeah, that's crap.
Which I think is crap. And I'm thinking if you live 2,000 lives, you're going to experience everything you can possibly experience as a human being in those 2,000 lives. So why does fate involves bookkeeping and making sure that it happens? But randomly, 2,000 lives, you're going to experience everything anyway, right?
Sure, I think you'd cover it.
You'd cover everything.
Right.
You'd cover every experience. So why bother with fate? That's where it breaks down for me.
I just enjoy the music.
The music is kick ass, man. All right, now the Cubs had their opener. Did you know that? They lost to
of
the Brewers.
They lost.
They lost, but they have a new player on the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Miyagi?
No. His name is Fuck You Dome. This is the headline. I didn't see the game.
Not fuck you.
Fuck you, Dome. Debut spoiled by Cubs loss to Brewers. Fuck you, Dome. Starts fast, but would Howry fail? So the Cubs got a new player named Kasuki Fuck You Dome. Fuck you, Dome.
I predict great things for this man.
Fuck you, Dome hit a 3-run homer off Milwaukee closer Eric Ganji to tie the season opener in the bottom of the ninth. Fans all over Wrigley Field held up professional made signs with English words on one side and Japanese on the other. It was meant to be a two-sided version of the phrase "It's gonna happen," but something got lost in translation, and the Japanese side read, "It's an accident."
What?
Fuck you, Dome's heroics were no accident.
Heroic? York?
Heroic?
York?
Enjoyed, so I looked all over the internet to find an announcer how they pronounce Fuck You Dome's name. Because to me, it's Fuck You Dome.
Yeah.
But of course, Tetanus was Tetanus, you know? So I may have something mixed up in the translation.
It aches like tetanus.
All right, now, before we get to celebrity news, John, are you ready to play Shit or Shinola?
Yeah, but didn't we miss science?
We usually do science after celebrity.
Oh.
So I thought we'd do a quick round of Shit or Shinola, some celebrity, some science, and then get into politics.
All right.
Let's do it.
Are you ready for that, Phil? Shit or Shinola?
Sure.
I don't have to explain the game to you, right? You're a listener.
I think so.
I'm going to read a statement. This is for you playing at home. I'm going to read a statement. You have to tell me if it's shit, which means it's crap, which means it's not true.
Thank you so much for that definition of shit.
Or Shinola, which means it is, in fact, a fact.
Or true.
Or true.
Okay.
Yes. All right, then, John, whenever you're ready to play the theme,
for Shitter Shinola.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
That's the closing theme.
It's a closing theme, yeah.
And as the game is going on, I think the dating game theme would be appropriate.
Yeah?
As I'm asking questions.
Is that what that's from? That da, 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 da.
Yep.
Dating game?
I'm not sure. I'd
Bachelor
have to hear
number
it.
One.
I have to find it.
He's got
to
find it. All right. So while he's finding
it, I have it.
Should I get into the first celebrity story?
No, I have it.
While you're
somewhere.
Finding it? I don't want to put the pressure on.
Well, it's alphabetical.
You know, former nominee for producer of the year. I don't want to
former
put that in jeopardy.
What are you saying?
Well, they don't even have the category this year for producer of the year.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bunch What's of shit categories.
It's a bunch of shit. Well,
they're a bunch of shit podcasts that I never heard of
do they
being
have
nominated.
A, do they have like an awards ceremony someplace?
Something like that.
Like, or is it just sort of out in the ether?
It's all out in the internets. The internets.
Who is it this year?
Who's what?
That's
Oh, I have
winning.
No idea. None. I think they've already closed.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, and announced the winners. For the Podcast Peer Awards.
Let's get ready to play!
Shit or Shine Ola!
All right, then. The first question this evening in Shit or Shine Ola. Are you ready, Phil?
Ready.
In Scotland, the new year is ushered in by rolling flaming tar-filled barrels down the street. Shit or Shine Ola.
What's that again?
In Scotland, the new year is ushered in by rolling flaming tar-filled barrels down the streets.
I'll go with Shine Ola.
Oh, that's complete shit. That's no way. That's in New Delhi.
All right. Phil says Shine Ola. John says shit. Phil goes up 1-0.
Oh, man.
Because that is total shinola, John. Total shinola.
It's true.
The barrel burning celebration is called Hogmanay. Hogmanay. And is said to symbolize the burning of the year, of the old year, to make room for the new.
All right.
Phil is up 1-0.
Those
next
crazy,
question.
Crazy Celts, man.
Shit or Shinola. The South Beach diet creator, Dr. Horace Vesputh, died while jogging. Shit or Shinola.
That's shit.
John says total shit. Phil says...
I'll concur with shit.
Phil is still up 1 because that is total shit. The diet's real creator, Dr. Arthur Agstestin, is alive and kicking, using his cardiology background to steer humans toward healthier, heart-friendly diets. Next question, third question,
oh,
third round.
Been a bell.
Shit or Shinola. A shrimp's heart is in its head. Shit or Shinola.
That is Shinola.
John says Shinola, Phil says.
John says Shinola.
Shinola.
Phil is still up. It's 3-2. You know, if Phil just answers what you answer, John, he's going to win this game. The scampi-friendly decapods also boast a smooth ectoskeleton similar to their crustaceous cousin, the lobster.
Where else could it be?
Ectoskeleton?
Yeah, isn't that what I said? Exo. Yeah, that's what I said, man.
You said ecto.
So the shrimp's heart is in its head. Fourth round, Shit or Shinola, and we only do 5 rounds unless we need a tiebreaker. Fourth round, true tequila comes with a worm. True tequila comes with a worm, Shit or Shinola.
Shit.
And still... Phil is up 4-3. That is total shit. Tequila should not come with a worm.
but a bottle of tequila's kissing cousin, mezcal.
Yeah, mezcal.
Will sometimes arrive with a butterfly larva inside. In addition, it's considered an aphrodisiac. Final round, shit or shinola. John, if I were you, I'd make Phil answer first. The banana is actually an herb. The banana is actually an herb.
Shinola.
I have to concur.
Phil says shinola.
Shinola.
Phil wins this round with a perfect score.
Ugh.
The banana is considered both a fruit and an herb.
Yeah, because it was like cultivated into the banana we now know. Which is, we had this discussion about that knucklehead.
Which knucklehead?
That Australian guy who was with, Growing Pains. What's
Crocodile
his name?
Dundee?
No, the Growing Pains.
Kirk Cameron?
Kirk Cameron.
Oh, Kirk Cameron and Ray, I can't remember his
Ray
last
something,
name.
Yeah, the, what is it, the gods... The Master's, the Guide to the Master, or something like that. And he talked about how the banana is shaped perfect. It's got its own lid or something, like a pop can.
And it fits in your hand. It
fits in your hand, and it's bent towards your lips, like a big dick. And
I've got something that's bent your way.
I think Phil gets a round of applause. We haven't had too many perfect scores Shit or Shinola. Phil walks right in here.
Boom.
And nails it.
Wastes me.
Nails it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And John, you got 4 out of 5, but you still lost. What does that got to feel like?
It's terrible.
It's horrible.
Dinner was full.
Cousin Eddie.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
People.
Gotta get some Planet of the Apes clips, man.
Yeah.
Chuck Heston.
Ooh.
Get your paws off of me,
you damn dirty ape.
All right, turning to celebrity news.
It cut his brains out.
You know what we could do? We could podcast the Planet of the Apes.
Oh yeah, like do a like a reading.
A reading, yeah.
Dr. Zaius, I presume.
We'd have to get a narrator.
Yeah,
for some of the action sequences,
right?
Yeah, but we really wouldn't. Oh, there's one woman ape, right?
Yeah.
So we'd need one woman.
Zora.
The other woman just kind of grunts, right?
Yeah, the human.
Yeah.
The grunter.
Human see, human do.
That's funny, Phil.
Turning to
You're
celebrity
just
news.
So damn ugly.
You motherfucker.
I don't know if you've heard this, but Bon Jovi lead guitarist Richie Sambora
is gay.
May have had a little too much. Bad medicine. That's right. Sambora, 48, was arrested just before 11 p.m. Tuesday for investigation of driving under the influence of alcohol after an officer noticed his black Hummer weaving in traffic lanes.
Oh,
Sambora was given some field sobriety tests and arrested without incident. He was booked at the Laguna Beach jail and gave a blood sample. He was very. He was very cooperative with all the staff.
Nice.
Now, when the story first came out, they said three female passengers, including two minors, were in the car.
Lord, and you're to blame.
With Sambora,
daughters or something.
An adult woman took custody of the two minors in the car after Sambora's arrest, and it turns out one of these girls was his daughter.
Yeah, poor guy.
So,
having to put up with Captain Hairdo all these years.
What do you mean, poor guy? How could you get into a goddamn car with your daughter when you're drunk?
Hey, he's put up with John Bon Jovi for 25
years. Yeah.
And
I
what?
Don't care. He deserves to be drunk.
I told you a story about me at Great America, right? Did I tell that story on this podcast?
I don't know.
They have one of those.
Oh yeah, where you did the karaoke
recording.
Yeah,
yeah, recording studio,
and you gathered a crowd.
And then my fat ass comes stumbling out.
Well, you sang. What did you sing?
I'm a cowboy on a steel. I was doing the Kevin Burns version.
And I've seen a million faces.
Horse, I ride, wanted, dead or alive.
Have you seen a million faces and rocked them all?
Yeah, no doubt, man.
I just disagree. There's no excuse. I mean, okay, so you play with Bon Jovi, you become a multi-bajillionaire.
Yeah.
You get to bang Heather Locklear. There's no excuse for getting in the goddamn Hummer at 11 p.m. drunk. And what the hell was he doing out with his daughter at 11 p.m. and her friends?
Yeah.
You know, Hulk Hogan's dating one of his daughter's friends. Is that what's going on now? Usually these celebrities hit on the babysitter. They pick up the babysitter, but now they're going for the daughter's friends? That's disturbing.
It's all going in the shitter, man.
It is going in the shitter. And similar to a Kevin Burns, a young, attractive young man, 6 years later, the guy looks like he's older than us. What's going on with him? And the same thing with Richie Sambora. You should see this guy's mugshots from this arrest. He looks like he's 70. It's unbelievable.
How old's the daughter?
They just said two minors. What's a minor, under 18?
Yeah.
Something, some age under 18.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Wow.
It's not good.
That is not cool. Not cool.
I just feel for the guy because I know, you know, come on. I mean, he's still milking that thing, but it's like,
well, you're
sad.
You're making it sound like he's an unwilling participant, and I disagree.
Fuck.
I think
no,
he's
got
fuck.
To. You know?
What fuck. Do you mean he's got to?
Fuck.
Just make a living, you know?
Of fuck. Course you make a living, fuck. But...
alimony. And all
so what you're saying is Richie Sambora is not into Bon Jovi.
No, I don't think he is.
He'd rather play something else. Yeah, I completely disagree with that. He's totally know. Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Totally digs it.
Totally.
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 Unlike Lars Ulrich.
Ulrich.
And Metallica.
James. Fuck. What the fuck, James? This is fucking bullshit.
In our
man.
Last celebrity news, Mike Myers upsets Hindu community.
Myers, because he's the guru gimster or something?
Yes,
or
he sparked controversy in Hindu communities for lampooning the religion in his new movie, The Love Guru.
The Love.
The actor plays Guru Pitka in the upcoming film and repeats the mantra of Marsika Hartigay. She's the one from Law & Order. What's her name? Mariska?
Yeah.
Hartigay.
Mariska.
Inspired by the American actress as his calming technique. But Hindu leader Rajan Zed has accused Myers of stereotyping the culture, adding the movie appears to be lampooning Hinduism and Hindus.
Wow.
The Love Guru, which is not yet complete, is a satire created in the same spirit as Austin Powers. It is our full intention to screen the film for Rajan Zed and other Hindu leaders once it is ready.
Nice.
I question why that's even a necessity.
To screen it?
To screen it for Hindu leaders. So what? You don't like it, don't watch it. Why do they have to screen it for them?
They didn't screen Borat.
Right. So what are the Hindu leaders going to do? I want you to take that part out.
Do take that part out.
So they want to censor the movie? Go away. Boycott the movie if you want to. If you don't want to see it, don't pay the money and don't see it.
Yeah.
What's the problem? This Ben Stein's coming out with this dumbass movie. If you don't want to see it, don't go see it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't boycott. We're not running around saying boycott the movie. Don't go to the movie. Go to the movie.
I didn't know he was such a kook, you know. I was listening to those clips you played the last show.
That guy's a mo. A dick.
I used to think he was kind of like, you know, wise and whatever.
Really?
Like
with that mush mouth?
Bueller.
Bueller.
Not Bueller.
Bueller. Bueller.
I thought he was like a level-headed kind of...
Anyone? Anyone?
That guy's a dumbass.
Anyone?
Well, I agree with that. I'm just saying. I didn't know he was such a...
Well, I'm glad that we
cheeks up.
Yes, I'm glad that we gave you that experience and
spread
opened
the cheeks.
Your cheeks to the stupidity of a Ben Stein. I just don't understand the boycotting of movies. Isn't free speech, shouldn't that be like a universal...
And I'm sure it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. Yeah. Lighten up.
Yeah, come on.
All right, speaking of movies, I saw a couple of DVDs there. You guys ever see Run, Lola, Run?
No.
I'd have to recommend that.
Really?
That is a pretty good... Phil, are you hearing the same thing I'm hearing?
Yeah, the Heavy Metal Masters.
Yeah, what is that? Dun-dun-dun-dun. John, what is that? Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Heavy, man.
I know what this is.
This is what Kevin Byrne should be doing. I feel it rumbling inside me. I feel it rumbling inside me. I feel it rumbling inside me.
I feel it rumbling inside me. And you wanna know why? Yeah!
Cause I gotta take a shit!
Nice.
Heavy, man. Hey, do you like Disturbed?
I thought it was gonna pay off sooner. I love Disturbed.
I figured, man. I was like... They have some nice, neat, heavy stuff.
I love
like that.
To be disturbed by Disturbed.
All right, getting back to Run, Lola, Run.
Got a rumbling inside me.
I highly recommend this movie. It's has a unique visual style, and it tells a 20-minute story three different times. The outcome is different based on the choices and events beyond the protagonist's control. And the woman in the movie, Run Lola Run, the Lola, is the one from the Bourne movies.
Yeah, right.
The woman he hooks up with and then she gets killed.
No.
No?
Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought Run Lola Run was... Wait, who is it?
Who's what?
I thought it was the chick from Fifth Element.
No, it's not her. It's the chick
Mila
from...
Mila Volovovich.
No, it's not her. It's
Yojovich.
The one from the Bourne movie. The Bourne. Right. The one that gets whacked.
All right.
Is Lola.
Whacked.
Yeah, she gets whacked.
Whacked.
The only problem is it's a German movie. You have to read. You got to do a lot of reading. And they flash the dialogue between two different characters, and you have to figure out who's saying what. Like, they didn't color code it or anything.
Right.
But it's worth a good rental, you know? It's a good rental.
Good rental.
A thought-provoking film. Then the other movie I saw, John, Freedom Riders. Have you ever heard of Freedom Riders?
I've seen it.
You've seen
it's
Freedom
great
Riders?
Movie. Great movie.
It is a great movie.
Fucking tearjerker.
Were you crying like a big pussy?
Yeah, like a big...
Have you heard of this movie, Phil?
No, I haven't.
When I first heard of it, I thought it was about journalists for some reason. I thought McDreamy and Hillary Swank were journalists, but it turns out Hillary Swank is a teacher. She's come from a long line of teachers.
Yeah.
And she decides to take a post.
Oh, right. McDreamy is in it. I forgot about that. The
integrated school.
Yeah.
Which used to be a very good test scoring school, but now because of the integration... it's one of the shittiest schools. And there's all these different gangs. There's the Korean gangs and the black gangs and the Hispanic gangs. And there's the one white guy in the classroom. So the first 15 minutes I'm thinking, oh, it's one of these dumbass school bully movies where they bully the teacher and they terrorize the teacher and then somebody saves the day. Which I've seen a million times.
Right,
I mean, there's like a million of those goddamn movies. So I was really kind of upset the first 15 minutes. But then when she makes that connection with her class about the greatest gang of all time,
Yeah, I just started crying. I cried the rest of the goddamn movie.
Yeah.
It was fortunately,
what was the greatest gang of all time?
Hitler, man.
Hitler, that's right. Yeah.
My wife is lying on the couch in front of me, so she didn't get
the witness.
You don't get
it at first, and then it's like, oh, yeah, man. Holy
yeah, so
shit.
She makes this link. She connects with the class about all this gang stuff. She links it to Hitler and the Holocaust, and she actually gets survivors to come and talk to the class.
Yeah, right.
With her own money, she takes the kids on field trips. And this is based on a true story.
Yeah.
And it's really an interesting movie in terms of what public schools have the opportunity to do when teaching kids.
Yeah, but then right, and then they decide that the curriculum that she's teaching is whacked, and they want to...
Right.
Some bitch wants to shout her down.
Right. And I think the one thing that resonated with me about high school education anyway was being able to make that connection. And whatever that connection is, and maybe that connection would come through porn. I don't know. But once you establish that connection, then you're on the same kind of playing field and you can actually exchange ideas.
Yeah.
But there was no exchange of ideas before the connection was made.
Right.
And I thought the film did a great job with it. I thought Hilary Swank did a great job.
It's about breaking down walls, Scott.
Right. That's what it's about, John. And I highly recommend this movie, Phil.
That does sound awesome.
That's what our show is about, breaking down those walls.
That's right, John. That is right.
Letting the nonsense flow.
Then there's some other story in there about something about some gang shooting and
Tete anus.
But yeah, I don't think I've cried as much in a movie as this one. And fortunately, I'm sitting behind my wife as we watch the movie, yeah. So I would. I had an excuse.
In my eye.
If I was about to, like, you know, make an audible,
yeah, the big heave,
I could get up and pretend I was getting a drink. You see,
yeah,
walk.
That's a good one, man.
I could go in the other room.
Want some popcorn?
And I could knock some ice around, and then and then come back.
Are you crying? You know, I love when they turn that around on you. No.
No.
I was just yawning, and it makes my eyes water.
In my eye.
Yeah. Why? What's it all over your shirt for? It's because my nose was runny. I was wiping my nose.
I had a chili pepper.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, 3.5 out of 4, Spiny Normans.
Nice.
Title of the film again? I'm sorry.
Freedom Riders. And that name comes from one of the assignments she gave him was to write in a journal every day. Write whatever you want. And she eventually published all these journals in a book.
In a book, right.
And I think they called the book, or they called themselves the Freedom Riders.
Freedom Riders, yeah.
The other thing that was really interesting is... they have a big budget, and they have all these new books. Not a big budget, but they have all these new books. But the kids in her class don't get these books. They get hand-me-downs and all this secondhand shit. So she goes out and buys books with her own money. And that's one of the other things that she really made a connection with them, because they couldn't believe that somebody would trust them with new books. And that was one of the big things.
Yeah.
Yes, outstanding Freedom Riders.
Freedom
film.
Riders.
It was
Freedom.
A similar movie with Meryl Streep. She was a music teacher, and I think it was Music of the Heart, and she taught violin to inner city kids, based on a true story too. Real uplifting, you know.
Kids that were like honor students that wanted to be in her class,
right?
Because they just couldn't. They heard about what was going on, and they're like, this is where I got to be, because exchange of ideas is where it's at.
Well, and one of the things is she didn't follow the curriculum. She kind of made it up as she went along.
Yeah.
And she came up with some really creative ways for people to think. And that's what it's all about, thinking and exchanging ideas. That's how it happens, man.
Need more of that around.
Right on. No doubt.
All right, turning to science news, John.
Science news.
Having a big belly in your 40s can boost your risk of getting Alzheimer's disease or other dementia decades later.
What's a new study suggests.
What's that?
Huh?
It's not clear why abdominal fat would promote dementia, but it may pump out substances that harm your brain.
Your brain.
It's not just about your weight. While previous research has found evidence that obesity in middle age raises the chances of developing dementia later, the new work found a separate risk from storing a lot of fat in the abdomen. Even people who weren't overweight were susceptible.
I'd like to explain something.
The abdominal fat, sometimes described as making people apple-shaped rather than pear-shaped.
I got what you call it.
It's already been linked to higher risk of developing diabetes, stroke, and heart disease.
That's a train wreck.
And now,
what the hell?
We can add dementia to that, John. Dementia to that.
Nice.
So I'll be looking out for those signs of dementia.
Of my dementia?
Yes.
But Sly Stallone.
Do you got this science story? I got a science story.
Let's hear it.
On March 26, 2008, surgeons at UC San Diego Medical Center.
Yeah.
Did you hear this story?
I don't know. Tell me.
Removed an inflamed appendix through a patient's vagina.
I do not have that story, but I have one about a kidney.
Pulled out of the vagina?
Pulled out of the vagina.
The JJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a first in the United States. Following the 50-minute procedure, the patient... Diana Schlamadinger. It's the name, Schlamadinger.
Schlamadinger.
Reported only minor discomfort. Removal of diseased organs through the body's natural openings offers patients a rapid recovery, minimal pain, and no scarring. Key to these surgical...
scarring.
Yeah. Key to these surgical... clinical trials is collaboration with medical device companies to develop new minimally invasive tools.
Yeah, I have the same. The story I have is about the second one. This is the second one. It was the first one in Europe, but the second one in the world. And what they call it, John, is transvaginal nephrectomy.
Oh, I thought it was called natural orifice translumbal endoscopic surgery.
I have transvaginal nephrectomy.
Otherwise called NOTES.
NOTES.
Yeah. Natural orifice translumbal endoscopic surgery.
This one, they took a kidney out of the vajayjay.
I want to hear when they pull a Blaine out of the vajayjay.
Well, I guess here's the question I have. Let's say you go to your doctor, and your doctor says, "Hey, John, we got to get this kidney out of you. It's inflamed. It's going to cause problems.
We're going to pull it out of your penis hole."
Well, you have a choice. We can extract it from your anus, or we can open up your abdomen. What would you choose?
Abdomen, yeah.
I'd definitely choose abdomen.
The scar.
Because scars are cool.
Actually, yeah. I got some audio of of an appendix being removed from somebody's penis hole.
All right, let's hear it.
Here's.
The operation
it broke
was
it off.
Yeah.
It's the penis snapping back as they, stretch it out and pull the appendix through the hole.
Well, they probably could do, if there's, something in the bladder or whatever, use a catheter and go up there. And I'm sure they've done things
like that. I
like that,
man.
Right?
Catheter. Yeah. And if you want to see that rockumentary,
it's
on the homepage.
Christ.
Catheter with a K, of course. All right, John. Turning to politics. Let's first start out politics. Let's hear the W. The W goes to the Washington Nationals game. This is in the America's capital, Washington, D.C. It's a baseball game, and it's they have this tradition where somebody throws out the first pitch. So they said they called the W, and they said, "We want you to throw out the first pitch at the Nationals game." And I couldn't find this on YouTube. It was taken down when I went to look for it. But you found a copy. And let's listen to the reception that the W gets at the Washington Nationals.
I'm worried that the copy's been removed since we started the show.
Since we started?
Yeah.
Yeah, the W is going out there getting that thing removed.
Let me refresh this.
He probably fired the guy who recommended that he throw out the first pitch.
Oh, this fucking thing's not refreshing. This is a bunch of shit.
Because he walks out there and...
here we go. Something's happening. Yeah, he walks out and...
Usually W controls the environment. He controls who gets in. He controls who asks some questions. But here, he can't. He's just got to walk out and throw this pitch at a stadium.
Yeah.
And here's the reception he gets.
President of the United States.
He's got a nice throw.
Thought it was a little high.
There have been many presidents who have thrown out first pitches, but I don't know that anybody's ever done it better than this particular president.
That was a neat high.
And usually they go to the front of the mound in these ceremonial first pitches, presidents or otherwise. He goes right up on the mound again, just as we saw him at the World Series at Yankee Stadium in 2001.
Equal parts, I'd say.
Soon after September. Applause.
He could bring the heat to W.
Yeah.
Well, he spent all that time out in Crawford, Texas, throwing stones at his barn or whatever.
Throwing monkey poo at people.
His own feces?
His own feces from his cage.
With my own body.
I make it with my own body. I press it out and I ball it up and throw it at it.
It sticks to the barn.
Sticks to the barn.
Hell of an arm on him.
All right, we have another W clip. Should we save that for later?
No.
Talking about the 5-year anniversary. This is the W, which came out last week because 5 years in Iraq. 5 years, the W. How many trillions of dollars?
Yeah.
And here's what the W's got to say.
But it was only 5 years ago that Iraq was one of the most brutal dictatorships on earth. A totalitarian nightmare where any election was a sham.
That is one big pile of shit.
And dissenters often found themselves buried in mass graves. In a matter of 15 months,
we've killed more
Iraqi
Iraqis.
People reclaimed their sovereignty.
What?
They went on to choose an interim government and to ratify the most democratic constitution in the Arab world. And in December 2005, 12 million Iraqis elected a government under that constitution.
The Iraqis
A display of courage that defied the terrorists, disproved the critics, and should always inspire the world. Tragically, the progress threatened to unravel in 2006. The new government the Iraqis elected took months to form. In the meantime, a terrorist attack on the Shia shrine in Samarra drove sectarian tensions past the breaking point. Sunni extremists, including Al-Qaeda terrorists and Shia extremists, some backed by Iran, slaughtered innocent Iraqis in brutal attacks and reprisal killings. Across the country, political and economic activity was set back. We took a hard look at the situation and responded with the surge. This dramatic shift in policy had two primary goals. The first was to improve security conditions. So I ordered 30,000 additional soldiers and Marines into Iraq and gave them a new mission to focus on protecting the Iraqi people and to hold the gains that had been made. The other goal of the surge was to open up space for political and economic progress after security returned. So we deployed additional civilian experts and more than doubled the number of provincial reconstruction teams, with a mission to ensure that security gains were followed up by improvements in daily life. General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker will provide more details about the progress of the surge when they testify before Congress early next month. But this much is clear. The surge is doing what it was designed to do. It's helping Iraqis reclaim security and restart political and economic life. It is bringing America closer to a key strategic victory in the war against these extremists and radicals. On the security side, the surge has brought important gains, which I discussed in detail.
Oh. Hello.
That was a long clip.
Yeah, I was like waiting for you to go, okay, you could shut it off.
Losing power.
70, how much, yeah. First of all, I have a couple questions. When did Iran become Iran?
Iran?
He called it Iran. And just mentioning Iran makes me think about Cheney and makes me think about how we're going to attack Iran right before the elections. And he's going to cancel the elections.
The October surprise.
Right. Iran. But how much of that was lies? What was the percentage of that speech that was lies? It's all a bunch of shit.
It's the biggest bunch of shit ever.
What the surge was designed to do.
The
and
surge
all this
was designed
crap.
To get your ass out of fucking political trouble. Yeah, now the troops are fighting with these satirists who are like backed by Iran.
Iran.
And Iran. Iran so far away. He just doesn't sound like he believes any of what he just said. That was like he was like, I'm just spewing all this rhetoric and lies and I just can't do it anymore.
I'll go one further. He doesn't even understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm just tired.
So if he doesn't understand it, he can't believe it one way or the other. And I think that's what's a benefit to Cheney and those guys.
There's a new John Cusack movie that's coming out. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
He was on Real Time with Bill Maher. He spoke about his upcoming film, War, Inc., which, according to Cusack, focuses on the military-industrial complex. The film, says Cusack, differs from other films inspired by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan because it's a much more absurdist take on the war. And there's some stuff in he says that are so vicious, if you didn't look at them through a different lens, you couldn't get out of bed. And certainly the war profiteering immortally and elite and illegality of this disastrous free market utopian enterprise out there is certainly well documented.
Well, yeah, it's very well documented, and the W is just trying to spin.
Well, he says he shares similar themes to those found in Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine. Cusack said, the very core things that make up our government, like wars or interrogation or border patrol, jailing, any of those types of things that you would think would be sacred things that would happen with the state are now being turned into for-profit enterprises. And if you want all of these things to be, if you want corporate ethics to be our national interest, then you have the situation we're in now. But right now, when you think that we've outsourced everything to interrogation, which means torture is a cost-plus enterprise, I think you can see a complete spiritual bankruptcy to this whole neocon movement. It's a nightmare beyond anything you can really imagine. So these fuck sticks have turned this whole rendering thing into a business to make big dough.
Nice. That's great.
With our tax dollars.
Yeah, we're paying for it.
And Bill Maher wanted to know if this is just a neoconservative movement and Bush administration, you know, with that, is it much deeper? And Cusack said, yeah, I think the issues go much deeper, a lot deeper. He added, some of these truths are so horrible, you don't want to think about that. But it's just, I mean, the gig's up.
The gig?
Yeah, G-I-G.
Shouldn't it be jig?
That's what I would think.
The jig is up?
The jig is up.
I've never heard the gig is up.
The gig is up. If guys who are statesmen on CNN are also sitting on the board and are shareholders in some of the most profitable defense contractors in the world, and they publicly make the case to go to war, got to war, then create a new market with the war, come back and speak evangelically about free markets that aren't free, these aren't particularly subtle fact, and stock prices jump 145%. And their companies are awarded $2.3 billion contracts. After a while, you have to expose and shame and indict and hopefully convict the participants in this illegal, immoral ideology. And there was just something recently released about this whole fucking, savings and loan. God damn it. The mortgage thing. And JP.
The buyout of the banks.
Yeah. The buyout of the banks. A couple of guys from Countrywide got awarded like $10 million apiece for doing such a great job bankrupting the company. There was another thing. There was a memo floating around about JP Morgan, one of these institutions, telling people how they can cheat the system to get people loans they can't afford by lying on their applications about what their annual salary is, their income is. And it's just shit like that. You know, they sit there and cry that they don't want any regulation. And it started with Ronald Reagan, all this deregulation. And I'm not really sure there should be regulation, but there should be some form of oversight. But even if there is oversight, you know these fucking politicians can be easily bought.
Who can't?
And where does it end? Where are these moral compasses? They're gone. These people are fucking garbage. They're fucking garbage. These two guys from Countrywide, they should be hung up by their fucking balls.
And they're contributing to destroying this country if it goes unchecked.
And they're the people that walk around with their little American flag lapel pins. And it's fucking disgusting.
Nauseating.
Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, all these fucking losers.
Yeah, you want the no spin zone? You come here, John.
Yeah, that's
where you
right.
come.
There ain't no spin.
Yeah,
we go down
with the ship.
That's right.
That's right.
This economy just grab a hold of something, just watch it go down and swirl around.
Spin down the drain.
The toilet.
One last thing before I get the door. This came out today. Former Italian president Francesco Cossiga, who revealed the experience of Operation Gladio, has told Italy's oldest and most widely read newspaper that the 9/11 terrorist attacks were run by the CIA and Mossad, and that this was common knowledge among global intelligence agencies. How about that?
Wow. Ah. We knew that. We've been talking about the conspiracy.
All right, hold on. Let me go get
the... Phil, go get it. You want to get that?
Phil, can you get the door?
Oh, sure. I'm closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. I don't have to get the door for once.
Take a load off there, buddy. Hey, what's up? Come on back. Walking lockstep.
Phil on Phil.
Phil with Phil. Phil on Phil. Nice.
It's just weird, man. All right, man. Whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Ready?
Of course. I'm always ready. Phil, I don't think we've ever formally met, have we?
No. Well, I was on the show once.
Was I here that evening?
I think so.
Phil McCracken.
I don't remember that.
A couple of years ago.
I think I remember your sister, though. You have a sister?
Two sisters, yes.
Oh! All right, then, John, whenever you're ready. Did you already play my introduction?
Yeah.
Once again.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
And our first story tonight, John. Man claims to speak Australian after allegedly being raped by a wombat. A New Zealand man has been sentenced to community service after telling police he has been raped by a wombat. The experience made him speak Australian. Arthur Roth Craddock, 48, from the South Island of town of Matoka, called police on February 11th and told them he was being raped at his home by a wombat and he needed help. The orchard worker later called back and said, apart from speaking Australian now, I'm pretty all right, you know. Craddock pled guilty in the local court to using a phone for a fictitious purpose. He was sentenced to 75 hours community service work. Police prosecutor Sergeant Chris Strager told the court alcohol, no surprise, played a large role in Craddock's life. Next story, John. Oddly, the top 50 things to do in Canada this summer, published by Canada.com, does not list, I repeat, does not list, trying to get the word whore drunk and making a sex tape while Preston Buttons makes with his small hands. Next story, John. A Missouri man trying to install satellite TV at his home by drilling a hole in the wall with rounds fired from a .22 caliber handgun shoots his wife. As it turns out, sometimes Darwin's law is ineffective as the justice system at getting the right man. Officials are trying to decide whether a file charges against a Missouri man who fatally shot his wife trying to install satellite TV. Patsy Long, 34, of Deepwater, died after being shot in the chest with a .22 caliber handgun. Her husband, Ronald Long, fired the shot from the inside of their home after several unsuccessful efforts to punch a hole through the exterior wall using other beams. Henry County Sheriff's deputy said the woman was hit by the second of two shots fired by her husband. Next story, John.
Honey, can you see the light through there yet?
Younger men who read so-called ladies' mags could be psychologically harmed by the images of perfect male physiques they contain. Next story, John.
Okay.
Marlboro man orders his coffee in the nude. A 25-year-old state employee from Marlboro was arrested Sunday night after police said he drove his car to Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru window while naked. Stephen N. Greer of 65 West Main Street works for the Department of Correction. Next page. Has been suspended with pay pending an investigation. Griffin pulled up to the window at 6:30 p.m. and found himself while waiting for his coffee, according to the police report. When a woman working the drive-thru window handed Greer a napkin he had asked for.
And that's the truth.
She saw he was nude. And because she was too upset to serve him, a second female employee handed Guerrero the coffee. And she, too, saw him touching himself,
the report said.
One of the women gave police Guerrero's license plate number, and he was arrested later Sunday night on a charge of open and gross lewdness.
Anus.
In related news, John, while one man gets charged, another gets off. Huron County drops charges against a man accused of lewd behavior. And this is something that we covered in the past. This is a follow-up story. They drop charges against a man accused of lewd behavior with a picnic table. Felony indecency charges against a Bellevue man accused of lewd behavior on a deck behind his house were dismissed yesterday
but other charges may be filed. Art Price Jr., 40, was arrested March 20th after officials at a school near his home complained that he was engaging in lewd behavior with a picnic table.
He was dicking his deck?
Submitted video evidence was also submitted. He charged with four felony counts of public indecency. Next story, John. Kwame Kilpatrick's latest scandal said to sully Detroit's image. In related news, a city designated as a shithole can still be sullied. Next story, John.
That is one big pile of shit.
Take the money and nun! A Roman Catholic nun accused of stealing from the Omaha Archdiocese and gambling much of the money away has pleaded guilty to the theft. Sister Barbara Markey pleaded Monday to theft of more than $1,500, and she also agreed to pay $125,000 in restitution. She faces 20 years in prison. Markey is internationally known speaker. She was fired in 2006 as director of the Archdiocese Family Life Office after an audit found irregularities. The audit found that Markey spent $300,000 for her own use without documentation. Prosecutors say Markey used the money to cover gambling forays, gifts, and trips. Next story, John.
Nice.
If UK food isn't bad enough for you, UK hospitals are throwing away as much as half of the food they prepare. In related news, someone in the UK is actually eating the other half of food prepared by UK hospitals. Next story, John. Dear penis, falling out of favor as China's Olympians fear drug testing. Deer penis, turtle blood, and angelical root potions have joined steroids and amphetamines on the list of banned drugs for Chinese Olympians, while China's top athletes have long sought a competitive edge by ingesting traditional concoctions. Those customs are fading amid stricter doping rules and concerned that drug scandals will embarrass the host nation during the Summer Olympics. Potions containing deer penis are believed to increase blood flow. Still no word on how exactly deer penis is ingested. Next story, John.
Dude, man, I was so wasted on deer penis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deer.
Penis.
Penis.
Deer penis.
My drink was lovely.
How I've your missed piss? You. And I'm going to make you shiny. I usually stay out of politics, John, but I couldn't avoid this headline. Obama shouldn't tap Clinton. Most Democrats say that sometimes touted dream team of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton doesn't sit well with most Democrats if Obama is sitting on top. But if Clinton is on top, more like Obama as a running mate. Just 42% of Democrats surveyed nationwide say Clinton should be the Democratic Party's vice presidential nominee if Obama wins the party. Yet 58% say Clinton should tap Obama. Should she become the party's nominee? Next story, John.
What's your fucking
the fuck you in for, bitch? Start sucking.
Police rescued two teenage Bulgarian sisters from a circus in southern Italy, which forced one of them to swim with flesh-eating piranhas.
Bulgarian.
The amusement
those
of
fucking
guests.
Bulgarians. I'm sick
while
of them.
While the 19-year-old sister swam in a transparent tank, the younger 16-year-old was forced into a container where the circus staff tossed snakes at her. She was injured by one of the snakes. Police arrested three Italians who ran the circus south of Naples. The women were paid 100 euro, which is equivalent currently to $155, John, per week and lived in a trailer that had previously been used to transport animals. Next story, John. Worried that Al-Qaeda might be joining American gangs, the Fed uses the Patriot Act
to search the home of somebody who belongs to the Wichita Crips. Next story, Todd. This is a PSA, John, a PSA. If the police come to your door to serve you a summons for a mental health examination, attacking them with a shovel probably will not help you get out of the examination. And our next and last story, John. Next and last story this evening. A wealthy individual and TTN listener erects billboard, which declares all religions are fairy tales. It looked harmless enough, but the words on a billboard unnerved so many people that a popular restaurant nearby actually lost business. The billboard was on Colonial Drive near Old Cheney Highway. When you condemn all religions and say they're fairy tale, that is wrong, said Rich Stroms, of nearby business owner. They should have known what was going up on that there billboard. He should proof it. He should proof it, Storms stated. And that's the news, John.
All right. Thanks again, Phil, for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Phil McCracken Wit.
Thank you, Phil.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yes.
I don't remember you from before, so I'll just pretend that we just met right now.
That's nice.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, bye-bye. John.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
Right on.
Get the fuck
out. You motherfucker.
I think I remember your other sister.
That wasn't
filthy,
funny.
Filthy, man.
Filthy, it's Phil.
Filthy McCracken Whitcomb.
Filthy, yeah. Yeah.
All right, John, I think that brings a close to episode 125. We need to thank Phil, bass player Phil. How would you describe yourself now? You used to play bass. Would you still say bass player Phil?
Not really. I'm not doing
Should
much
be your
of
moniker?
That. I think I'm just side
Phil,
man.
Phil, not doing much of all, Phil.
I'm living a life of quiet desperation.
Sideman Phil.
Yeah, I'm a good sideman as far as bands go.
Sideman.
He can do it all. He plays guitar. He plays bass. He plays drums.
Sideshow Phil.
Sideshow Phil. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sucking and licking.
All right. I'm not Scott.
And I am still not John.
Total Talk Nonsense. Don't forget to give us a call. Somebody called us but didn't leave a message.
How dare them?
You know, call if you're drunk. Call if you're somewhere at a bar. Call from, you know, I know one guy used to call. What was his name?
Ass Plunger.
Ass Plunger used to call after muff diving or something. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Sucking, licking.
Lovely.
Yeah. Call us at 847-TTN-GIZ, G-I-Z-D. 847-TTN-GIZD. We're out. Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.